This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Let's go around the horn. Welcome everybody in. On a Monday, Giants play tonight on ESPN at 8:15 against the Bucks. That should be a great one. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. Good morning to you. Good morning to Rick DiPietro. At a time where it seems like our country is divided along party lines and there's partisan politics, I think one thing that everybody can agree on is that the Jets are the worst team in the National Football League, and Adam Bass should not be allowed to coach anybody else's football team. I don't even know if he should be able to coach a high school team, Dave, as bad as the Jets have looked, especially in the second half of ball games where they're clearly being outcoached because of the adjustments that are being made at halftime by the opposing team. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Good morning, Rick. After that opening from Chris, I'm sure it's a little painful for you, but good morning.
No, it's not even painful at this point. I mean, don't be disrespectful to Cowboys fans either. I mean, the Cowboys are right up there as the worst team in the NFL. Let's not get it twisted. As bad as the Jets are.
No, I don't know about that.
Well, at least there was no expectations for the Jets. I mean, the Cowboys were supposed to win the NFC East.
Yeah, but they're on their third-string quarterback, Brad DiNucci. I mean, how high are the expectations with Brad DiNucci as your starting quarterback? You guys got the third overall pick from 3 years ago.
Which they've turned into. Brad DiNucci is what they've done.
Ben DiNucci also knocked
down
the quarterback.
It's not Brad. It's
Ben DiNucci. Brad DiNucci doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't make a difference.
Sounds like an injury attorney, man. What do you want? What are we talking about?
He's going to represent himself at some
point.
Plays
like an injury attorney, too.
Clearly, the Cowboys didn't want him playing quarterback either. They kept splitting him out wide and having Ezekiel Elliott take the snap.
Yeah, at that point, I think Wildcat's probably more effective anyway. I mean, let's be honest.
Maybe that's
Carson,
what the
Jets Carson Wentz wasn't
now,
very good
to
either.
Create some offense.
Carson Wentz is terrible.
That
Carson Wentz is bizarre because there's plays that you watch him, you're like, he stinks. And then there's plays that you watch him, you're like, boy, what a great play that was. The problem is there's too many plays where you watch him and you say he stinks. I mean, he makes, what did he have, 4 turnovers last night?
Yeah, a lot of bad decisions.
Awful.
A lot of bad decisions.
Awful, awful decision making. What was the one play? It was one play. Look, you know the Jets aren't going to win. They can't.
Oh, he was outside of the pocket. He was just, yeah, it was just ridiculous.
The one play for the Jets, Rick, that would have had me furious, and I think it was Rich Gannon was on the game, right? And he said it.
Trent Green.
It was Trent Green. Yeah.
All right,
Trent
Green, former quarterback in
the fake
AFC
punt.
West, is on the call for that game, and he's like, "Look out for this, the fake punt." I mean, you were completely ill prepared for the fake punt. It was wide open, and I thought that was embarrassing from the Jets. They had no idea that was on the horizon yesterday.
None. I mean, Chris mentioned it. I mean, they get out talented, they get out coached. I mean, you name it. I mean, playing the Jets is like going on Oprah's Christmas show, where hey, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown. I mean, anyone that wants it. I mean, it was I couldn't believe how easy it looked. I mean, he was just sitting back there. And Pat Mahomes is great, but that was just too easy.
It was too easy, Rico. They weren't able to consistently get pressure on the quarterback, especially from the edge guys. Like, I thought Quinnen Williams played a good game, and you saw at times he was getting pressure. There's one time he got a quarterback knockdown, and that eventually ended up leading to the Kansas City Chiefs having to punt on that possession. But I just, you know, it's no pressure on him. And then to make matters worse, for some reason, Greg Williams decided he wanted to go with 8-man fronts consistently, as if they needed to load up to stop the run, which left them in a lot of single high coverages, whether it's cover one or cover three. Neither one is a coverage that you want to major in going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, who, as I've mentioned before, have a 4x1 relay team as their wide receiver core. And it showed yesterday because Pat Mahomes was just spreading the wealth. Averaged almost 10 yards an attempt. I think it was 9.9 yards per attempt. And I'm just sitting there saying to myself, I don't understand why Greg Williams is leaving his guys in the secondary one-on-one like this. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the game plan was to let's make sure we stop the run. Like,
So you just don't look bad? Is it to try not to look bad?
Again, probably, you know, don't
letting Le'Veon Bell go crazy? I thought the objective was to try to be competitive and win the game.
I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah, but they can't do that.
No, I understand. Listen, guys, I understand from a talent standpoint, they're not going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But you don't formulate a game plan going into a Sunday saying, you know what, we're going to lose, but at least let's not look incompetent and let Le'Veon Bell, the guy that we decided to cut 3 weeks ago, have a huge game where he puts up like video game numbers. Like, your goal should be to try to have a game plan that at least gives you a path to victory. And I just didn't see that, especially with some of the things that they were doing defensively. It just didn't make any sense. And then to make matters worse, when you look at some of the effort from some of those guys on that defense, especially on the back end, it'll make you sick. Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting. It'll make you want to throw up in your mouth. Like on that jet sweep by Mecole Hardman, just go back and look at the tape and look at what Brian Poole is doing on that play. I mean, that's Carmelo Anthony-esque in terms of the level of fake hustle that he was given on defense. I don't understand if you're Chris Johnson, how you can continue to condone that type of effort from your football team. Like, it's one thing to just, you know, be beat because you don't have the requisite talent that it takes to be competitive. But then you compound that with the lack of effort and an incompetence from the coaching staff. What do you have at that point?
This.
Well, you know what it is, Dave? I know I'm going on a little bit of a rant right now. And I know I come on these airways week after week and bash the Jets. And Jets fans hate me for it. But you know what, Dave? I'm going to keep doing it. You know why I'm going to keep doing it? Because I hate the fact that the Jets keep me from enjoying my NFL Sunday. Because I got to watch this garbage. I hate it. Like, I can't even enjoy my NFL Sunday because I got to lock in on the Jets. At a time where we got Steelers-Ravens at 1 o'clock in the NFL, guess what game we got to watch in the Tri-State? Chiefs-Jets. And it's not really a game. It's just, okay, how efficient can the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes be on offense?
Yeah. What you saw yesterday was a glorified scrimmage. The Jets never, ever – and listen, I know the Chiefs will beat them every time, and the Chiefs are a really, really good football team, maybe the best in football. But that was – I mean, and you say it every week, guys, they're not competitive. That's what they are. We're halfway through the season. It's impossible to think of them finding a win this year. They are non-competitive. And, Rick, it's the same conversation every single week.
Every single week. And, I mean, I don't understand how you expect to be competitive. I mean, the reality is that you have a third overall pick playing quarterback that you've completely ruined. I mean, you have – Pat Mahomes had more passing touchdowns yesterday than the Jets have the entire season.
Yep.
The Jets have four passing TDs. In eight games, they have four passing TDs. Are you right? And here's the best. This is my favorite one. Courtesy of our very own Rich Cimini. Mm. They've beaten him to. I mean, he's dead.
Is it four passing TDs, Rico, or three? No, it's four passing TDs.
I thought it was four.
It's four passing TDs. Okay, four passing TDs. Sorry, I got that confused with the amount of rushing TDs. They have three rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, three rushing touchdowns.
Sorry, I apologize. They're so close, you get the numbers confused.
Go ahead.
How about this one? This is my favorite stat.
From Cimini? Go ahead.
Here's my favorite stat. The Jets are averaging 4.62 yards per pass attempt through eight games. There are nine teams in the NFL averaging more than 4.62 yards per rushing attempt. There are nine NFL teams that average more per rushing attempt than you do passing attempt.
Yeah, I could tell you the Giants aren't one of those teams, though.
That's amazing to me. That's the case.
But guys, it's every week. It's almost unbelievable at this point that every single Monday we turn on the mics and it's like they lost by, you know, it's double digits. The question is, did they at least compete in the game? How many points did the other team score? How inept was the Jets' offense? Like, you could take every single Monday's audio and just recycle it for today, and it would hold true. It's the same conversation every single week with this team.
Yeah, but at some point, the conversation has to change, doesn't it, Dave? And if it's not changing, as the owner, you have a responsibility to the guys in the locker room and to the fan base to try to do something to hold somebody accountable. And that's what I look at when I see the Jets play. There's a complete lack of accountability in all three phases of the game. Like, the Jets on that fake punt at the end of the first quarter, they're sitting in a punt-safe look in an obvious fake punt situation. So obvious, as you guys mentioned, Trent Green calls it out on the broadcast, and they do it, and guess what? Nobody responds to it. The guy sitting there, the gunner, is wide open. All the punter has to do is raise up, throwing the football, first down. It was so easy, Dave. They telegraphed it, and it didn't matter. But the reason that they were able to convert in that situation is because it doesn't matter enough to the guys in the Jets uniforms. And if you're the owner, something about that has to change. And I think the first thing that has to change is the head coach. I don't know when they're going to get rid of Adam Gase, but it needs to be sooner rather than later because you can't continue to condone this type of effort from your team.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, these guys get paid a lot of money. And I'm not going to, you know, it's the whole, you know, Adam Gase is an offensive, you know, genius and the whole thing. Like, we're past that point. Yep. But, I mean, to have the last couple weeks, we had in the second half last week, he had 4 total yards. And then this week, you were 3 and out. I mean, he had. I guess it's better because it was only 4. He had 63 yards in the second half of that game yesterday.
Rico, I want to say it's something like 9 consecutive quarters in the second half that you haven't scored. 9.
Right.
And the 9. Kicker, which is amazing because early on in the season, they were getting whacked in the first half. Now, all of a sudden, they actually look, decent in the first half, and they're horrendous in the second half.
Horrendous.
And they kept trying to run that stupid same play, that the wide receiver screen to Berrios. They ran it like 3 different times. They ran it at one point. They ran it on first down and they ran it on third down. I'm like, can we switch it up a little bit? And then Chris Herndon has the fumble. And maybe when they meant unicorn, they meant the vegetable corn. Like he's a single piece of corn.
He's awful. He is. How many years though did we hear? Oh, you know, when Herndon is healthy and right, he's a difference maker. He's
the end of his rookie year. He flashed big in a big way though, Dave.
But like, can we agree that that's year. Done? That we have to move on from Chris.
It's over now. Yeah. It's over now. I mean, potential just means you haven't done it yet. And it's too inconsistent. I mean, you could have the conversation about the other tight end for the New York Giants. I mean, it's the same conversation with those guys. I mean, at some point you got to go out there and produce. And the fact is that he hasn't produced, nor has the Jets, in any phase of their football team at all. Dave, the last 4 games, the Jets have been outscored 107-29. And on the season, that's 238-94. This is historically bad.
So they're what, 140 now, their deficit?
144, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep.
Terrible.
144.
Yeah, I don't even know what more there is to say at this point, Rick. I mean, you come on every Monday, and it's the same thing every single week. It's pathetic.
I mean, at this point, you're watching these games just to see how bad it gets.
You're watching the games out of obligation, out of fandom. That's it.
I mean, you're watching that game yesterday because you want to see, you want to see Kansas City's offense and what Pat Mahomes is going to do against this atrocious defense, what you wanted to see.
But here's the thing, Rico. We know that Pat Mahomes, at his best, is the best quarterback on the planet. On the planet. There is nobody that can play the quarterback position at a higher level than Pat Mahomes right now. And then what he said in the postgame to me is completely unacceptable. Like, if I'm a Jets fan, I would be livid. He said they were really focused on stopping the run, which they did a good job of doing. They were coming down fast, and the guys were getting open in space, and I was putting it in their hands. Like, well, I don't understand. You go into a game playing Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, tight end who's had 1,000 yards receiving in the last 4 years, and Tyreek Hill, who might be the fastest player in the National Football League. And your number one objective is, we going to stop the run? Help me out with that one, guys.
Well, you know what it was. I mean, the number one objective was don't be embarrassed by Lev Bell.
Right.
But it's okay if you get embarrassed by the Kansas City Chiefs by 26 points. That's okay.
Well, if the
line opens up at 22 points, and if you took the line at this time last week, you still would have covered. That's not embarrassing.
Well, the expectation was that
where do you want to be embarrassed is the question.
Exactly.
Okay, 2 right? first downs in the second half, that's not embarrassing.
Where do you want to be embarrassed? Do you want to be embarrassed because you're inept, or do you want to be embarrassed because they destroy you in the air? You want to be embarrassed because they beat you up on the ground with a guy that was yours until 2 weeks ago? How do you want to be embarrassed?
Dave, I'm just saying, when guys are yucking it up in the post game with the reporters talking about their favorite touchdown pass that they threw, I don't know if it was the one to Tyreek Hill or DeMarcus Robinson. Oh, no, you know what? That underhanded one to Travis Kelce, that was cool, too. When they're doing that's just so disrespectful. There is a complete lack of respect for the New York Jets as an NFL franchise. I don't understand how you could be a Jets fan or you could be a Jets owner and be okay with that.
I don't think Jets fans are. I know for a fact Jets fans aren't okay with it. Now, how the owner feels is a completely different story. I mean, maybe he's just making them wear this. I don't know. I mean, Rex said, I said a couple different times that, the Johnsons, that they don't like to fire coaches midway through the season. They let them finish it out. I mean, at this point,
I remember the Giants said that once upon a time, too. How'd that work out for them?
Well, I know, but that's because you start messing with family. I mean, you decide you're going to bench Eli, and then things change.
Oh, got it.
But now on top of it, it looked like Sam re-injured his shoulder yesterday. Mm-hmm. So who knows how that's going to, affect him moving forward. I mean, when your arm is hanging, you can't, you go into the sideline. We've seen this before, so who knows if he plays, this week, and of course it's going to be on national television. It has to be a Monday night game against the Patriots, who almost is equally as bad, but still at least they're competitive. Listen, I mean, I don't know what else you can say about it. It's tough
awful.
To watch this.
It's awful. I mean, you watch this solely out of loyalty, right? You don't watch it because it's good football. You don't watch it because they put on a good product. You watch it because you love the Jets, and that's just what you do, right?
Yeah, but that's what I do. I want to see them have success. That's why I didn't take the Kansas City Chiefs. I said it on Friday. I was going to take Kansas City, but I'm sick of rooting against my team. I want to see them actually go out and move the football and score points. And, I mean, settling for field goals against Pat Mahomes is not going to get the job done. It's not. But no one expected them to win this game. And now when you look at it, Sam Darnold's officially been ruined, so he'll be on a different team next year.
Absolutely.
And then you really only have, I mean, they're selling off pieces. Avery Williamson gets traded. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if there's really
How about waking up and winning the lottery if you're Avery Williamson, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not even, you don't even have an agent at this point. It's a hostage negotiator. That's who made that deal.
That's a 15-win swing for Avery Williamson.
He goes from 0-8 to 7-0, huh?
It's like that old lady that jumps on Happy Gilmore's car as he's pulling it to the nursing home.
Get me out of here.
That's
from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Yep.
But there's really only three guys. I mean, I'm sitting there watching that game yesterday. There's really only three guys in the team that you expect moving forward to contribute.
Becton.
Yeah.
Quinnen Williams and Denzel Mims.
That's it.
Yeah. And Denzel Mims, you know what? There is a lot to like there.
Yep.
What I don't understand is why he doesn't get targeted in the second half.
Because that's the adjustment.
He didn't even get targeted, guys.
Well, because that's the adjustment. That's what they did. That's what Buffalo did, is that you saw he had some success in the first half, so they took Tre'Davious White and put him on Mims in the second half and shut him down. And then the same thing yesterday. There's only one guy that could possibly have success against that. We'll just shut him down. That would be him.
And that would be him. So you just shut him down, and that's it. And then you win.
That's it. It's a wrap.
35-9, and it's a laugher, is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at.
All right, let's take a listen to Adam Gase after this game. Does this team have even enough talent to win a game in the second half of the season?
We get starters healthy, which we should have some guys going back. That's always going to help, you know, help stretch the field a little bit. I think we're limited on guys that we can stretch the field with right now when we have a couple dudes banged up. You know, we got to try to be able to get some more chunk plays and explosive plays. I mean, the same things that you guys were asking me about. I think that's, you know, I'd love to see this starting wideout group actually play together and just kind of see where that would go.
Listen, I think it hurts not having Crowder, but it hurts how much?
You got no Crowder, you have no Perriman.
Okay,
I mean,
fine.
Nothing, really.
Listen, you don't have your full
never really had
semblance
anyway.
Of wide receivers.
No.
I get it. But how much of a difference is it
going
to make, really?
It doesn't. At this point, you're looking for excuses. I mean, you heard it sounds like he's in witness protection. They change his voice or something? I don't understand what's going on with that.
the thing you can't tell from the audio is his face is all pixelized, right? You couldn't actually see him in the post-game press conference. Oh, my God.
Wow. Oh,
terrible.
My God.
It really,
but in all honesty, though, and I said this last week, the only reason you talk about the Jets is to complain about the head coach. That's the only thing that makes them relevant.
I mean, they're setting all kind of records, though, Rico. I mean, the Jets are the first team.
Not good ones.
Since the 84 Houston Oilers to start 0-8 with all losses being by more than 7 points.
God.
Adam Gase has more double.
The first
he's got
team
more
in
double
almost
digit,
40 years to do that.
Canty, he's got more double-digit losses as the head coach of the Jets than he has wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't
it's
make
bad.
It up.
It's bad. No, it's really, really bad. Like, you almost can't find a bright spot. You can talk about any team, and you can pretty much find a bright spot. You almost can't find a bright spot with this team right now.
Well, the punter seems to be a good pick. No,
okay.
That was a good
and
pick.
And the field goal
Joe
kicker
Douglas.
Kicked well yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
He
you
did.
Mean the ones that weren't blocked, right?
Right. The ones that made it through. We're pretty good.
And you know what? Actually, Jets fans are really lucky that wasn't a kick six. Because I don't know if you guys paid attention to
it was Hardman,
but
wasn't it?
Andy Reid and Dave Taub had Hardman on the opposite side of the block. So when Arene Watts comes through and blocks the kick, which was a terrible job by McDermott, by the way, but when Watts comes through and blocks the kick, I mean, Hardman's right there to scoop it up. If the kicker doesn't tackle him, then that's to the house.
Right. Once he gets into space, he's gone. Fortunately,
yeah, that's
for the Jets,
to the house.
He did not. It's
just
terrible.
Think about how crazy that is, though. In all honesty, just think. I'm sitting here listening to you guys talk, thinking about this. Like, going into that game, you realize, I mean, everyone knows you have no chance to win that game. It would actually be to your benefit. Like, if Kansas City runs the ball, at least the clock keeps moving, right? Like,
shorten
at least
the game, yeah.
Shorten the game. You're going to stop the run because, God forbid, Lev Bell makes matters worse by actually playing well. Let's stop him and then let every single other person have a great game. I mean, look at the number. I mean, look what he did. Look what Pat Mahomes did. And you didn't even realize it until I didn't even realize until after the game looking at his numbers that he went for over 400 yards. But, I mean, Kelce had over 100. Tyreek Hill had two touchdowns, almost 100. Hardman had almost 100. DeMarcus Robinson goes for 63 and a touchdown.
Lucky for you, they didn't have Sammy Watkins. Could have gotten out of hand yesterday.
Could have got out of hand. It's unbelievable.
You're a bad guy, Dave. You're a terrible guy.
I don't know what to say. Listen, when my team does this, which they probably will tonight, I'll be as frustrated and angry.
No, let's be clear, Dave. No team does this. No team in the NFL does losing like the Jets. This offense is so bad. How many times do you see quarterbacks or teams get held to under 200 yards passing?
It doesn't happen.
It never really happens. It never really happens. I mean, the Jets are the worst offense in the National Football League, and it ain't even close. I mean, the Giants are second. The Giants are averaging 282 yards per game. Do you know where the Jets are at on a per-game basis?
Per game, I'm going to say Jets, and I do not know the answer to this. I'm going to say the Jets are 228.
Okay, so it's a little higher than that. It's 259.
Yeah, it's bad.
259.
Bad. What, the Chiefs have 500 yards of offense and they waved the white flag in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, the Chiefs have 496 yards of offense.
Yeah.
And they had it in cruise control the entire time.
Yeah, they took their starters out in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah, Chad Henne played the fourth quarter. Yeah. Yeah.
But this is nothing new.
This is nothing new. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but I mean, as bad as they were last week in the second half, you were just hoping that they would prioritize and say, you know what, we're going to find a way to be able to move the football in the second half. And the fact that you only got two first downs in the second half, I don't understand how you expect the team to be somewhat competitive. But Dave, here's the thing. I thought up until late in the second quarter, that was a game. That 3rd-and-13 conversion to Travis Kelce that went for 18 yards, put the ball in the low red zone, that was the one to me that kind of killed you. That was the one that, like, okay, the Chiefs are going to separate. Because if you hold them to a field goal there, then you're talking about a 17-9 game, one possession at halftime. Okay, at least you can say going into the half, the Jets are in the game. Well, when it's 21-9, you knew what it was. I mean, I guess we knew what it was as soon as the Jets landed in Kansas City. But still, like, I mean, you let the game play out, you see how it goes. At least there's some enthusiasm in that locker room. Okay, we're in this game. And we didn't necessarily play great. Now, we know that Kansas City didn't play great, but at least you could say to yourself, okay, we're in this game. Let's see what we can do in the second half. Let's see what happens. But no, they ended up converting. They got a touchdown on that possession. Then you go down, you put yourself in position. Well, they put you in position to score points with the unsportsmanlike conduct by Travis Kelce and then their kicker kicking it out of bounds. You get the ball at midfield. You work it down the field goal range, and then you get it blocked. I don't know, man. It bothers me so much because it's such a bad brand of football, and it's hard to watch. We're seeing the same thing over and over and over again every single week. And these guys are getting paid to do a job. And, Dave, right now, these dudes are stealing. And I'm not just talking about the players on the field. I'm talking about the coaching staff, too. They're stealing. Because this is absolutely unacceptable.
It's really, really bad. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on DCR appear via the Shell Pendula Performance Line. Let's get some of the calls. Jets fans all lined up, all upset on a Monday. Let's see what the Jets fan is thinking and saying. And let's start out with the captain, Ira, in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, fellas. How are you? I tell you, one thing, they only committed 3 penalties. So, yeah, I guess that's a positive sign. But, you know, Chris, don't be concerned about Jets fans hating on you. Everything that you're saying is right, spot on, and Rick says it. You know, it's just it's so embarrassing week after week after week. I mean, you get caught with your pants down on the special teams play. They're lucky that Hardman didn't have the sense enough to lateral after they blocked the field goal, because that was definitely he had a guy right on his left side, so they definitely could have walked in on a touchdown there. But what goes on with this offense and the game planning, you scratch your head. I mean, I remember when we played the Colts in the playoffs and we beat them, what Rex did, okay, he gave up the run because he knew we couldn't stop Manning passing. But what do? We do the opposite because, Rick, you're right. They didn't want to get embarrassed by Bell, even though he has lost a step. So they shut down the run, and they leave these guys high and dry in the back end. And Mahomes picked them apart. And listen, let's not kid ourselves. We know the roster. This is the best football team in the NFL. And right now, the Jets look like a JV roster. I mean, Douglas got to take some of the responsibility unless he has a master plan to tank from the beginning. And once again, at the midseason press conference, I can't wait to hear what he has to say. But right now, this is just a complete failure. And if I was Chris Johnson, I don't know what's going through his mind right now because he watches this week after week. I mean, when is he going to get up? And he said, enough is enough. Or are they just taking the strategy of, you know what, we keep on losing, we're halfway there, let's not disrupt the thing. Maybe an interim coach will win a game by some accident. It's just, I hate to say it, but kudos to Quentin Williams. You know, it looks like he's a player. Mims looks like he's a player, but after the first quarter, Jets don't know how to get him involved in the game because they can't adjust. So I can't wait for this coaching staff to be out of here and just hopefully Douglas gets the right people in place. And this plan better be right, because if his plan is wrong, you're not talking about a 2 or 3 year plan. You're talking about a 5+ year plan. So let's just hope his tanking is going to work 2 or 3 years from now.
Well, thanks for the call, Ira. I got to be honest. I don't even know if they're tanking. I just think they're that bad.
No, they didn't come to tank. They absolutely didn't. This is not what the Miami Dolphins did a few years ago. This is the Jets falling far short of the expectations and short of the standard that we have for professional football teams. I mean, Joe Douglas was the one that said before the season started that he was offended at some of the talk around town about how people were disrespecting them.
Mm-hmm. He was angry by it.
That was on him. That's what he said as the general manager. So clearly his expectations were better than his team being 0-8 through the first 8 games. Like that just wasn't. Nobody could foresee this. I didn't see this coming. I didn't think the Jets would be this bad. But I think that speaks to the ineptitude of Adam Gase as a head coach. Clearly the guys don't play for him. They don't believe in him. They don't think they have a chance on winning games week in, week out with him being your head coach. And so as a result, I feel like a lot of the guys have mailed it in. I mean, I joke about it all the time and use the phrase that they're shipped the cars home. But, I mean, that's where the Jets are at right now. And you can see it in the effort that the players are giving on the field. And I just hope that stink doesn't rub off on the guys, the young players on this team, that you hope can be foundational pieces.
Yeah, but, I mean, you see it across the NFL. I mean, this is what happens when you have a team that doesn't have a ton of talent, if any talent at this point, and you mix that with poor coaching – and zero effort, you become a historically bad team. There are plenty of teams that have been ravaged, that are getting ravaged by injuries or COVID and everything else, and those teams still find a way to be competitive. I mean, what were the Patriots?
Tennessee had two practice days and blew the doors off the Buffalo Bills when they went down there.
Guys, there's no team like this.
Look at the Bengals' offensive line.
You can run through every team. Philadelphia's been ravaged. They stink, but they don't stink like this. Dallas has been ravaged. They stink, but not like this. I mean, look at
the Patriots yesterday. I mean, look at the Patriots receivers yesterday.
They're 12 yards away from I mean, that's overtime written all over it. At the worst for them if they don't fumble that football.
The Bengals' offensive line is decimated. And they
were without four starters on the offensive line.
I mean, so there's plenty of teams that are dealing with injuries and everything else.
Everybody's dealing with stuff.
That the players clearly have quit on the coach, don't give any effort, are not really talented. You have what you see now, which could be the worst team in the history of the NFL when it's all said and done.
And this is
they're on their way
to play.
They're on their way.
Yeah.
Here
you got Mahomes
Jets,
is carrying Tyreek Hill off the field like that. You're losing, you're getting crushed, and they're laughing at you as it's happening.
You know, how could they not be? I mean, you said it. It was like watching a scrimmage. It was like Kansas City was playing in a scrimmage that was televised.
But you know what, Dave? The owner is given the players permission to continue to do this by keeping the head coach employed. He is. If the owner is not going to hold anybody accountable, clearly Adam Gase isn't going to hold anybody accountable. Adam Gase just wants to make sure that nobody's blaming him for as ugly as this thing is. I mean, that's why he doesn't miss an opportunity to throw his players under the bus and say it's an execution problem. It's not a play-calling problem. even though he's relinquished play calling duties to Dowell Loggins. But I just, to me, Dave, you're going to continue to see what we've seen from an effort standpoint if Adam Gase is still your head coach, because the players don't think they have a chance. They don't think they have a shot with this guy.
Because they don't. The truth is,
his record speaks for itself, right? He's 7-17 as the Jets head coach, but he's 30-42 in his five seasons as an NFL head coach. So clearly he's not good at doing this job. So at some point, you have to make a change. And to
me, I can tell you what they
– go ahead.
No, I can tell you what they have executed in my spirit. That's done.
That's about it. Yeah.
They've beaten that to death. It's done.
When you watch the game now, are you just like, you sit there and you're like robotic, right? You can't go crazy during these games.
No, I don't go crazy. I mean, I get frustrated once in a while. I mean, that they were trying to give you points. I mean, Harrison Butker was trying to do you a solid and he kicks the ball out of bounds, and you get your field goal blocked. The fake punch drove me crazy. I actually got more worked up yesterday about our picks than I did the actual Jets game. What aggravates me the most is I still, for some reason, because I have like this like, I don't know what kind of disorder it is, but I feel the need, like I still have to watch these games and take notes for some reason. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, by the time I'm done with it, I got like six pages of notes. Like I'm going like possession by possession. And I'm like, why did I just sit there and do that? Like, why did I just waste the time doing that? But I did it. I'm a sucker, man. They got me. I was angry though, Dave. I will say this. I was the most angry yesterday watching that Saints-Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
First of all, the Lutz missed field goal. Ridiculous. This is a chip shot.
What made you the most upset in that game? I want to see if it was the same play that ticked me off.
The third down play where they hit the guy in the corner of the end zone?
For me, it was the forward progress call, because they kick a field goal there and we got 6 points.
Yeah, with Cole Kmet.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
You know what bothered me, Rico, is right before halftime, Jared Cook runs a post on one side of the field and Drew Brees throws the ball behind him. The Saints come back with
the same play,
flipped it on the other side of the formation. Again, he's wide open on cover three.
Yeah, but who is that?
Are y'all not paying attention? Are y'all not? Go ahead.
Yeah, but who was that DB covering? Was he covering someone in the stands?
It's easy. He wasn't covering anybody, but it's the concept that makes it tough, because it's the corner and the tight end already has inside leverage by alignment. But my thing is this. If you're one of the linebackers, if you're the safety in the deep middle of the field, like, you got to see that. They just ran the play and the guy was wide open and Drew Brees threw it way behind him. Now, I think we know Drew Brees ain't the Drew Brees that we've known before. He's not very good. But, I mean, listen, guys, you know, they're running the same play. They're going to come back to it. If they have it, what they're looking for, and it's there, they're going to come back to it. And the fact that they weren't aware of that, that drove me crazy in that game, because the Bears defensively are too good to let something like that happen.
Yeah, and
like,
the Saints should have absolutely covered that game, and they let it get away. All right, and by the way, and we'll get into this later, officiating in the NFL, I feel like it's getting worse.
It's 2020. What do you expect?
I guess this is what I would expect. I guess. I don't know. It's terrible. Now, the Michael K. Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today at 3. You need to listen to this, please. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little bit more enjoyable. Today, Rick, guess what the giveaway is today? Guess what it is?
I wouldn't even know.
Cold, hard cash.
I like that.
$500 in cash.
That's nice.
Nice, huh?
That's nice.
It's the 20 and 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. Cash. I mean, who can't use $500 in cash?
Especially now.
Right?
I mean, this is... But it's the K-Show, man. What do you... I mean, I would expect nothing less from the K-Show.
I agree. This is what you expect from them, but it's still, I mean, this is cash. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's above and beyond.
Right? Gift of cash.
How was your Halloween? Did you get any trick-or-treaters or anything?
No, not one.
Not one?
No. I mean, they pretty much shut down our town. They sent out emails saying you're really not allowed to trick-or-treat.
Because I saw some, like, Cassie was showing me some stuff. They were on TV with, like, the socially distancing, where they had, like, this, like, you'd put the...
candy in like a tube, and you'd throw it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Some people, I think, left candy out on their stoop, and then kids could come up and get it. But no, for the most part, there was nothing.
Yeah, we did candy pinatas, and then the kids decided they would trick or treat at our house, so they would just come up and knock on our door.
Your kids would knock on your door?
On our door, yeah, and I would give candy. Great. And then I put on some sweatpants and walked around the neighborhood throwing feces at houses, dressed up as 2020. That was my costume.
Sounds terrific.
Sure, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Great day.
Sounds it.
Freezing cold, but it was a great
this
day.
Now they took Sean Connery from us 2020, huh?
I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it.
Two more months of this thing. Now it gets dark at 4:30.
And more importantly, when it gets light. That's the real problem. Forget when it gets dark.
When does it get light? When it gets light. 6:20 in the morning, right?
Yeah, the kids are up and at them. It's
yeah. Well, we have the Jets to talk about, which is nice.
No, we have the Mets to talk about. That's the real thing we have. We have the Mets, Dave. Me and you, I was listening to your Saturday show. We got the Mets at least.
You agree, right? Aren't you tremendously excited?
I couldn't be happier. Could not be happier.
Right? Can't wait.
This is a great thing for Mets fans.
Yeah, the best.
When is it going to be official?
He tweeted, actually. He's on Twitter, and he tweeted yesterday or Saturday. He said about 10 days until it's official.
Okay. The money. There's poor people around.
but I really meant this, and I said it on Saturday, and I want to see if you guys agree with this. We'll get to the Jets calls in a second. This is as good a day as you've had in 5 years since they were in the World Series with this organization, and one of the top days in the history of this franchise.
I can't disagree with you. I mean, that's how every Mets fan that I'm friends with, we all feel the same way. And this is a great opportunity, too, because of where, I mean, some of these teams are at that have, you know, contracts they're looking to unload. Yep. We've already seen it with the qualifying offers. I mean, this is perfect timing for Steve Cohen to come in and make a huge impact.
Also, what Jeff Passan said on the K-Show last week about teams letting go of folks that are in their scouting departments, front offices, this could be an opportunity if you're trying to develop the infrastructure to support your players, you know, to draft and develop talent. Like, that could be an opportunity out there to spend some money and get a lot of good baseball minds in your organization. Because Lord knows the Jets could use the Mets, and the Mets could use a lot more of those.
A lot of work to be done. All right, let's get back to these Jets calls. Let's go to Evan in Long Island. Evan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show.
Hello, Evan. Good morning.
Good morning. Just wanted to ask, what do you think is the best time to get rid of Adam Gase? Because I don't really see it happening anytime soon with the way this team seems to be playing.
I would say the bye week is a natural opportunity, but it just depends on whether or not whether or not the owner wants to do it.
Yep, I agree. I just don't. It's just the way this team seems to be going at it, and I just don't see it happening because with the way it just seems like they don't care at this point, unless Christopher Johnson's. You know, like Ira says, stands up and just says, you know, we're not going to take this anymore. It's just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. But thank you for the call. Thank you for answering my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for making the call. It's bad. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say. It's in everything, it's bad. I mean, except for Becton, Williams, Mims, and very little else, guys. Like we've said the entire time, this show, other shows, this is really bad. And there's not a lot of positive things to wrap your arms around right now.
But how can you continue to let that go on, though, Dave? That's my thing. Like, I understand losing games, and I know a lot of Jets fans out there don't want to jeopardize having the number one overall pick, and we see when teams fire a coach in the middle of the season, you usually get a bump. The team could win a game or two, and that could take you out of contention to get a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields. My thing is this, though, man. I mean, you got some young players that are going to have to be a part of this turnaround, and the last thing that you want them to do is fall into this habit of losing football games. And not only losing, but going out there and being non-competitive. Like, if you look at the Mekhi Becton we saw at the beginning of the season, he's blowing guys off the ball in the running game. It's Highway 77. It did not look like the guy that we saw yesterday out there in Arrowhead Stadium. Now, he's still a really good football player. I think he's going to be your left tackle for the next dozen years. But, I mean, Rick, I got to tell you, man, I'm a little bit concerned about some of these young players becoming or getting dejected because they continue to go out there and have no chance at being competitive, have no chance at being able to win games.
I know what you're saying, but I think we're already past that point. I mean, you can clearly see it. And as far as young players, I mean, you mentioned the three. Outside of that, I mean, when you look at the number of one-year contracts and everything else, what Joe Douglas is looking to do, I mean, this is going to be a completely different looking football team next year.
Yeah, but it's not going to go out there and get 40 new players next year. It's not going to happen. Not going to have 40 new guys.
Well, no, you're not going to get 40, but I think they're also relying on the fact that whoever they bring in will be able to fix what's currently broken. And the fact that there's no one showing up to games, financially it hasn't affected Chris Johnson, where he has to make a change.
No, I get that it hadn't affected you financially, so it's like, okay, what's the incentive to do it? What I'm telling you is the incentive is not lighting an entire half of a season on fire by not having your team have an opportunity to go out there and compete. Because, I mean, the best thing that you have in order to develop players is playing time in actual games. Guys get better by getting more reps in games. But the fact that the Jets aren't really in these games, that you have a lack of effort from everybody in all three phases, that's the part to me that you can't accept as an owner. And that's the part that good organizations don't take for granted when it comes to trying to make sure that you're losing with some kind of purpose. Even if you're not winning football games, there's something to be gained in that. And by keeping Adam Gase as your head coach, you're not getting an opportunity for those young players to develop and actually see if they can improve in the second half of this year and be ready to roll going into 2021.
I think we realize now, though, that currently the purpose of this Jets season moving forward is to trade whoever you can,
yep,
get as many draft picks as humanly possible, and have the first overall pick.
Okay.
Those are the top two goals right now for this team. Or for you know, Joe Douglas and what he's trying to do moving forward. I don't disagree with you. I think you're right. But, I mean, this is again, one of those situations where this was Chris Johnson's first hire, and who knows how long he wants to stick with Adam Gase, how much time he's going to give him. He's going to be fired. It's just a matter of when.
Yes, whether it's this week or...
Yeah, he's not going to be the head coach of this team going into 2021. No way.
God, no. He can't be. Marquand in Long Branch, you're next up on 98.7, Marquand.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I love the show. Very entertaining. I just wanted to say, we all knew that the Jets were going to get demolished, and they did the best they could do. They couldn't have Lev Bell running amok on them. So it was
you watched that game yesterday. It ended, you flipped to a game at 4 o'clock, and you thought to yourself, boy, that's as good as we can do. We really hit it out of the park with this one. That's as good as we can do. That's how you felt? I mean, come on.
He's speechless.
There's no way he felt like that. No way he felt like that.
I mean, they toyed with you.
Yeah, but as long as Lev Bell wasn't the one that was doing it, I guess Jets fans feel like that's a bit of a reprieve based on everything that they've seen all season long. Like, worst case scenario for Jets fans has been the 2020 season, and how fitting would it have been if Le'Veon Bell goes out there and goes for 200 yards from scrimmage?
But that would be like something
that fits within the season that the Jets are having.
But that's pretty pathetic. If you're saying, look, if we lose by 26, we lose by 26. I'm okay with that. As long as Lev Bell doesn't beat us up, this is a win. That's a pathetic attitude to have.
Well, I guess Jets fans are saying that, Dave, just because they don't want to win games right now. Like, they realize, okay, listen, we're halfway through this thing. We're going to grin our teeth and bear it. And you know what? We'll have Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields to show for it at the end of this thing. We'll have a new quarterback.
And we'll have more hope to savior. Sell. It's a little victories, Dave. It's a little victories.
Yep. Well, there you go. I mean, hang your hat on. Lev Bell didn't beat you up yesterday.
Well, you could. The other thing too is, I mean, you could see like they were going. Like, bless Austin went after Lev Bell.
Oh yeah, he did.
This must have been something that they talked about. Because otherwise, why would you? I mean, I don't understand why else that would be your game plan going in. Let's make sure we shut down the run. Because we know the quarterback can't beat us.
That makes no sense, though. Rick, think about how ridiculous that sounds. We're going to run single high coverages against the best quarterback in the NFL. We're going to leave our defensive backs. Now, you're the Jets now. Your top two corners are Bless Austin and Pierre Desir. We're going to play man coverage, essentially, on the wide receivers of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep. And, oh, by the way,
with
can't
one
get
free
any
safety
pressure.
In the deep middle of the field.
And
Travis Kelce is just going to run amok. Yeah.
Yeah. Just open. How does
that make sense? Dave, make it make sense to me, Dave.
Come on. I can't make it make sense.
I can't make it make sense.
It doesn't. He could have said, listen, I have, you know, anybody on my fantasy team, you're going to go for 9 and 132 touchdowns. They could have done whatever they wanted in that game yesterday, and they pretty much did. It was unbelievable. I got to tell you, Rick, I've never had less excitement for a Monday night Giants game than I do tonight. I wish I would say something differently, but it's true. I mean, They're 1-6. They blew any opportunity. They're facing a far superior team. You don't even have your right guard in this game. It's just it's hard to envision the Giants realistically winning this football game.
I believe it's your left guard.
I believe you're right.
No, it's your left guard. Yeah, but this crazy, I mean, crazy things have happened, Dave. I mean, at least your team has been competitive. Outside of the Niners game, your team has been competitive.
Yeah, I know. But are they going to win? Like, do you really look at the Giants
knows?
Having a chance to win this game?
Listen, I don't expect them to win, but there was a lot of things that happened yesterday that I didn't expect to happen. When your team actually competes, crazy things can happen. When your team doesn't compete and you don't actually try, then you get embarrassed by the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what happens. But
well,
I mean, at least
listen,
your team goes out there and gives you
fields.
Effort.
There's where the Jets are and there's where the Giants are, and they're not close to each other. But Chris, the Giants are, they're still not a good football team, and it's hard to envision them playing very well in this game tonight. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they compete. Maybe it's a fourth quarter game. I just, right now, it doesn't feel like that to me.
Yeah, Dave, I hope we're wrong, but I feel the same way you do. I don't envision the Giants being very competitive in this game, especially the way the Buccaneers are hitting their stride as a team. Like, defensively, they picked up where they left off in the second half of 2019, but the offense is starting to come around. It was slow the first month of the season, but now they're starting to pick up steam. Rob Gronkowski's getting involved, Mike Evans. They don't have Chris Godwin out
right
there, but they will have little Scotty Miller, who you got to pay attention to as well. And just seeing where this team is and seeing where their offensive line is and how that group has improved as the season has gone on, I don't expect the Giants to be very competitive in this game. I'm just hoping that Daniel Jones, you know, cleans up some of the mistakes that we've seen him in the past, because I'm tired of games ending on Daniel Jones turnovers. Like, I'd like to have a conversation about Daniel Jones not turning the ball over. Like, for all of the bad things that Sam Darnold has done this season, at least he's had games where he hadn't turned the ball over. Like, Daniel Jones, go out there and give me one of those.
Yeah, it's every single game. That little analysis preview of the Giants and Bucks brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. All right, let's progress along to Andy from Merrick. Andy, I know you're going to be in a good mood. Good morning.
Good morning, DCR. It's a Monday. It's baseball. I took the trek up to Cooperstown, New York, home of the Hall of Fame.
All right.
And, yes, I got to punch my ticket to get in. The answer to today's trivia questions, they got to pay to get in as well. You ready?
Go ahead.
I'm not sure what that means, but, yeah, I guess we're ready.
It means that these guys are not in, at least not yet.
Oh, not in. Okay.
Mm-hmm. They got to pay their way to get in.
Uh-huh.
This former Major League speedster has 752 career stolen bases, the most for anyone not in the Hall of Fame. Name him.
Most steals. How many?
752.
752.
752.
Was he ever a Met?
Oh, yeah.
Did a tarpaulin just attack him?
It did.
Yeah, Vince Coleman.
Yes.
Attaboy, David.
There we go.
All right. There are four pitchers who have eclipsed the 3,000 strikeout mark who are not in the Hall of Fame for various reasons. Name all four.
Clemens.
One.
So that are not in the Hall.
Mm-hmm. All recent vintage. Clemens was the oldest of all of them.
Schilling.
Two.
CeCe.
Three. The fourth one's an active guy.
Verlander.
Bang.
Nice.
Nice, Dave.
All right. There have been three relievers who have eclipsed the 400 save mark, none of whom have sniffed the Hall of Fame. Name those three relievers.
Oh, boy.
How many saves did you say?
More than 400.
More than 400 saves.
K-Rod.
One.
Billy Wagner.
Two.
Is Franco on that list?
Three.
Boom.
Nice.
I am the smartest man alive.
Right, one more to go here.
The Sven goalie comes up big. And all three of them Mets is obviously an anti-Met campaign.
Not anymore.
It's an anti-Met campaign in Cooperstown. All right, question number four, boys.
Okay.
There's only one manager with more than 2,000 wins who's not in the Hall, at least not yet. Name him.
2,000 wins. Bruce Bochy?
Bruce Bochy is correct for the Browns.
Nice.
Very nice, Dave.
We did very well there.
You did very well.
You did very well, Dave.
So we've been doing this for months and months and months, and it took till today for him to tell me, for me to realize that Mondays are baseball questions.
Fellas, let's be careful out there, and as always, stay healthy, boys.
Terrific job.
That was
well done by us. We're a team. If I do well, we do well.
Yeah, but the fact that you didn't realize that Mondays was baseball questions to this day, it doesn't. Me and Canty are not surprised. That's how your brain works.
Yeah. I know Wednesdays are hockey.
That's all you know.
That's all I know.
That's all you know.
All I know is
trivia,
Wednesdays
trivia,
are
trivia.
That's right. Listen, I got to focus.
No, listen.
You were not focused at the beginning of Stump Rothenberg on Saturday, though.
Terrible, right? But I rebounded.
You were not focused.
Yeah.
You did rebound. I don't think you should let Ty weasel out of the deal either.
Oh, don't worry.
I don't think you should.
don't you worry. He's got to get a full body waxing.
Yeah, you need to hold him to that.
Yeah.
He might need you to hold his hand through that, but you got to hold him too.
I don't want
to
be anywhere near him when
that
he's
that would be awkward. Yeah.
That's going to be very, very difficult. Spent the first hour basically talking about the Jets, a little bit of Giants. I did everything I could in my power, Rick, to avoid the Lions-Colts game. To not mention the Lions and the Colts. I didn't want to, but we're going to go around the league, and I figured let's get it out of the way first. RJ and Chris were 0-7 heading into the week, and we thought this is going to end the streak. Detroit plus 2.5. Lions lose by 20. 0-8 on the season.
You want to know the great part about that, though, Dave? So here's the thing. I actually came into the studio on Friday morning and talked with Santiago about this game. Mm-hmm. And I told him that I liked the Colts. He was like, really? I was like, yeah. He's like, nah, man. I like the way the Lions are going. They've won 3 of the last 4. I'm telling you, the Lions are going in the right direction, and you should never trust Phillip Rivers to come through for you. Just as a rule of thumb, you shouldn't do it. So I'm like, you know what? Santiago's right on this one. And then I watched that game yesterday. I was like, damn, Santiago set me up to fail. How can I depend on a Cowboys fan to help me out?
You can't.
There are
when they look at football through those lenses. Can't trust them. Can't trust him.
Half truths.
RJ Bell and Ray Santiago let me down.
I may have said don't trust Phillip Rivers. I have never and will never in my life say I like the way the Lions are playing. I'll never say that.
You said that you liked the Lions in that game. You said that.
I said I like the Lions more than the Colts.
Oh,
he meant
no,
an actual
no,
lion.
No.
He meant
yeah,
an actual lion.
No, I'm not going to let you do this. You're not going to have revisionist history. No, you said in that game, I like the Lions. Go with the Lions. They're playing better.
Okay,
I like the Lions.
I didn't say I like the way the Lions are playing right now. Oh, they're humming like the Lions.
No, you said they're playing better. You said they're playing better.
They are playing better. It's hard
you
to play
said
worse
that.
Than they were playing.
What I do not understand is how you came into the studio on Friday all about the Colts laying the 2.5. You talk to this guy who wears the same sweatshirt every single day representing the Cowboys, and by the time you leave on Friday, you're about the Lions plus the points?
Well, him and RJ Bell were saying the same thing, Dave, so I'm sitting there myself, you know what? Maybe those guys are right, especially the way I've been picking games. Maybe I got the game messed up
okay,
in 2020.
Something's wrong with me. Did I sway you in that direction or did RJ
Bell? I'm clearly broken. I am clearly broken, Dave. I'm broken. I can't pick a winner to save my life against the spread. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I'm
but RJ's right there with you. I mean,
let's not let him
off the hook either.
No, we can't let RJ off
the hook. Next, he's going to tell me that I told him to go with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Don't start that. I picked that game all by myself. Don't do that. I see what you're doing right now. Don't do that.
He did like Seattle.
Just own it. You said it in the studio on Friday. You said, see, don't go with the Colts. Take the Lions. You said it.
I did. I don't need the.
You said if
I'm gonna
get involved in that game, take the Lions. Don't take the Colts. You said it.
Put money on it.
I'm sorry. Oh, and Ace.
You see what I'm dealing with, Dave? You see where I'm at now? I'm sitting there in the ocean drowning, and people are throwing me life jackets with holes punched in them.
Yeah,
like that's where I'm at right now.
They're sending you lead. Weighted life jackets. This is what Santiago's giving you. 0-8. I mean, you can't go 0-8. I've never seen anybody go 0-8.
Well, you've seen the Jets go 0-8.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, a handicapper, 0-8. Oh, it's bad.
It's bad. It's bad, right? And Dave, what makes it worse, he talked me out of Seattle, San Francisco.
Yeah. What did you expect? And I like Seattle, and I took Seattle as my only one of the week.
And you took him, yeah. You took him.
What did you expect to have happen? We started the segment with RJ, with Canty giving him his three best teams, his three best bets, and RJ said, no, no, I actually like the opposite of all three of those bets.
And he was right with two of them, though. Yeah.
He was right with two of them.
You like Tennessee.
He said, don't mess with the Titans.
Tennessee got mauled.
Don't mess with the Packers.
Packers' defense looked awful, and Seattle was a coasting win, yes.
But here's the thing, though, man. Who's going to predict that Dalvin Cook is going to be the first Vikings player to have four touchdowns since Amar Rashad back in 79. Who's going to predict that's going to happen in Lambeau
Field? Did you see what Donovan Mitchell tweeted about that, by the way? I don't know if you guys saw. He tweeted, goes, I didn't even know Amar Rashad played football. he was an NBA sideline reporter.
Oh, that's too funny.
So you know who else is 0-8 against the spread this year, by the way? The Dallas Cowboys, which Al Michaels made sure to point out over and over and over last night. They are now 0-8 against the spread this season. And that was one of the worst games you've ever seen last night, really. I mean, Carson Wentz was awful. Ben DiNucci was terrible. Cowboys actually had one glimmer of hope, I thought, Rick, where they're running the football, first drive, second half, running it 7 yards, 8 yards, 10 yards. And then for some unknown reason, they run a reverse. They lose like 10 yards. It all falls apart from then on. But that was a terrible football game last night.
Awful football game. That was the other. There was two occasions yesterday where I got real fired up, and it was because of our picks. That was the other one. So I'm watching this game in bed. So I went into the bathroom to finish, getting ready for bed. I came back. TV is paused. I'm like, why the hell is the TV paused? Cash, like, you got to see this. You got to see this. And she decides that I need to see, knowing that I picked the Eagles and how I get about the picks.
The 59-yard field goal?
No, she wants me to see Carson Wentz get absolutely obliterated and fumble. Where he's outside, like he just for some reason decided he wanted
Which
to like, stand
Which one,
the
Donovan Wilson one?
Well, he got killed, yeah. Where
or
he just,
the Leighton Van Der Esch one. There's a couple of different occasions there.
The first one.
The first one, Donovan Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, the first
one. Where then they turned it over from the 5-yard line.
Yeah. She's like, oh, this is great. I'm like, no, that was not great. That was odd. Why are you showing me this right now? I don't want to see this. And thankfully,
they still won the
Cowboys,
game.
Yeah, but I mean, thankfully, the Cowboys ended up turning the ball right back over. But.
Can I ask you a serious question, Chris? And this is for you because this was, I mean, you were involved in this. You played the game. How did they call that a touchdown for the Eagles?
I don't know. I don't know how they didn't blow it dead. I thought Vinny Curry had possession of it. I thought the play was over at that point.
Because it was. Granted, you don't think that Philadelphia is going to lose that game because Dallas is so bad, but they glossed over it, and then, touchdown, 2-point conversion, blah, 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 not a big deal. But
if the two teams out there are playing like they don't care, shouldn't we expect the officials to officiate like they don't care?
I don't know. I
mean, they got the best seat in the house. They got the best seat in the house.
They reviewed it, and they still said that's a fumble touchdown. I don't know. I thought it was an awful call.
Well, Dave, Rick and I needed that call.
Well, I'm not saying call, you didn't.
I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. I needed a win.
You got the win anyway. I'm not saying that. But come on. Fairly. Wasn't that a terrible call?
That should have been blown dead. I mean, Connor Williams pulling it out of Vinny Curry's hands, that shouldn't have mattered. Like, it was just – the play was over at that point. It was over. Like, even from a player's safety standpoint, they should have blown that one dead. But, I mean, the officials haven't done that, man.
No,
the refs haven't been good this year.
Bad.
I don't know if you
really
can attribute that to them not having preseason games or not, not having involvement in training camps like they typically would be in a normal year without COVID. I don't know what it is, man, but it's just the officiating has not been great in the NFL this year.
Been really, really bad. All right, you want to go around the NFL a little bit, Rick? We can get away from the Jets for a couple of minutes.
I'd love to.
Let's talk about your Hall of Shame pick, Dave, with the LA Rams. Can we talk about
terrible.
That?
Well, yeah. And you know what the funny thing is, too? I didn't even think Tua looked that good. The Miami defense is excellent.
Well, yeah, they scored on defense. They scored on special teams. You actually could probably call it two scores on defense because Kyle Van Noy runs that strip fumble from Shaq Lawson all the way back to the 1-yard line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, I mean, like their defense and their special teams, that's how a defense and a special teams is supposed to support a young quarterback. That's what it should look like. Like, they made Brian Flores look like he made the right decision coming out of the bye week. And Jared Goff didn't look like he's ever seen an overload pressure when he's in an empty set.
No, they were all over him all game long. You got to give the Dolphins credit. I mean, they're sitting here at 4-3. They're a real contender for a playoff spot right now.
But you know what, Dave? That's why I don't trust the Rams. because every now and again, Jared Goff will have a game where he reminds you, like, you still can't trust this dude. Like, you're in an empty formation, and they got seven guys on the line of scrimmage. You're going to have to get rid of the ball sooner rather than later. And when you do, try not to throw it to a defensive tackle. How about that?
The Rams had 471 yards
mm-hmm. And
lost 28-17.
And
two through for 93 yards in that game.
Well, he wasn't good.
But that just tells you how important it is to take care of the football, Rico.
Yep.
Turnovers, man. It's the same conversation we have about Daniel Jones. That's why you can't turn the ball over.
He started in the Pittsburgh.
Doesn't matter how many yards you get.
No, that's what happened to Baltimore in that game. I mean, the Baltimore was, I mean, they were running the hell out of the football, and they turned it off. They turned
Lamar
it over
Jackson
too much
is not, and I'll say it, is not the same quarterback that he was last year.
Is he not the same quarterback, or teams have adjusted?
I think teams have adjusted.
Okay,
I think it's more of the latter. Which
teams
you're
have caught
Rico.
On? Okay, but still, he's not. I mean, like he was game changing. Like,
he needs another wide receiver. He needs another wide receiver. They need one more piece.
They need a weapon outside. They need a guy that's outside the numbers that's going to force teams to double team him.
Like they ran for 265 yards yesterday and lost that game.
Well, yeah, Baltimore playing physical and owning the line of scrimmage is nothing new. I mean, they set the single-season rushing record last year. So they're going to be physical, even without Ronnie Stanley, who God bless him, broke his ankle yesterday.
That was
good timing.
Gruesome.
Good timing on that contract. But even without him, they own the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball. But Lamar Jackson is going to have to get better at being able to win from the pocket, because if you're an opposing defense – you go into that game saying, we can't let Lamar Jackson beat us as a runner. We can't let him get outside of the pocket to extend plays. So they're going to force him to be able to beat them in the passing game from the pocket. And until he grows that part of his game, this Baltimore Ravens team is going to have a cap on him, Dave. They're only going to go so far.
Yeah, and those turnovers yesterday. The first interception for a touchdown, then they're up 17-7 in the second half. And he gets picked off again deep in his own territory. He made some plays, but he was not great in that game.
That's 14 points right there. I mean, the pick six, and then, you gave.
Game changing. Up 17-7, you felt like Baltimore's, I don't want to say cruise control, but in control of the game. And that interception changed the entire complexion.
But you know what, Dave? I thought that's the matchup that Lamar Jackson should be looking for. Like, to try to take advantage of the spots in that zone coverage where those linebackers from the Steelers are going to have to be responsible for. Like, where they have to match up with receivers underneath. Like, I thought that would be your advantage, because the Steelers, they want to blitz you, right? Their linebackers, they want to be able to get after you. They want to put pressure on the quarterback. I thought Lamar Jackson forcing those guys to be in coverage in space would have the advantage throwing the football. And I didn't anticipate that he would be that bad in doing that. I didn't. I couldn't believe it. I mean, if you're Lamar Jackson, you know you're going to see zone coverage. You're a running quarterback. Teams are not going to ask their linebackers and defensive backs to run with their backs turned in man coverage. They're not going to do that, not against him. So if you're going to see zone coverage, and you know you're going to see zone coverage, you would just think that he would have more answers for that, especially being at this stage in his career. Am I wrong for looking at it that way?
No. I think he's got to be better. I mean, he does. He has to know. He has to read the defense better, and he's got to make better plays in bigger moments. Because for as good as he is, I think you could argue that he cost his team the game yesterday, Rick. Don't you think?
I mean, the turnovers definitely did. But I think it also, I mean, and this is something we've talked about quite a bit. I mean, how great he was last season, it covered up for the fact that, you know, as far as skill positions are concerned, I mean, their tight end is great. But outside of that, I mean, he's not, they can run the football. But I mean, outside of that, he doesn't have many options. This team is not flush with offensive weapons. They got some good players, but they don't have, I mean.
Yeah, they don't have a great receiver.
No, they don't.
Because he's been so great.
I mean, because he's been so great, he's covered up for that. But, I mean, when you play good teams with good defenses, I mean, he's been getting exposed.
Yeah, and he's not as good as he was last year right now. Now, whether it's because he's taken a step back or they've adjusted to what he does really well and have kind of changed that, I don't know. But it's, I mean, you would agree, right? That's not the best team in the AFC right now, not even close.
No. No, I think Kansas City's the best team, and Pittsburgh's right behind them.
Pittsburgh's
in the loaded
good.
AFC.
Loaded.
I tried to tell you.
It doesn't feel that loaded now. It feels like it's two teams and then everybody else.
I would agree with that.
Tennessee just got thrashed by Cincinnati.
By the way, I say it every week, and Joe Burrow is going to be sensational in this league.
You know who else looks like he's going to be pretty good?
Justin Herbert.
T. Higgins.
Good too.
T. Higgins looks pretty good. That catch he had in the first quarter, he had no business being able to pull that ball down.
But we talk about all the time, offensive line, continuity. They're so banged up, Chris, that Bobby Hart, who starts at right tackle, couldn't play in the game yesterday and went to someone worse than Bobby Hart, and they still went up and down the field with Joe Burrow in that
offense. Crazy to think about it that way, though, Dave. Bobby Hart. Bobby Hart's backup. That's crazy to think about it that way.
Yeah, but they got good. I mean, they have good skill position players.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that matchup just Tennessee is – that's not one of their strengths is putting pressure. So, I mean, you can get by with a less than average offensive line in a situation like that. The weapons around Joe Burrow are legitimate.
Oh, yeah. Well, Higgins is good, and Boyd is really good. And I don't think Green is the same guy, but he's still pretty good. So you have three real receivers there. And whether it's Mixon or Bernard or whoever, they have a serviceable or good running back.
Yeah.
But
Joe Burrow, I mean, I agree with you. He's exceeded with what these teams are dealing with, especially young kids learning a new system, new language, no preseason, everything else. To be as good as he is now.
Sensational.
But you know what, though, Rico? The most impressive part about Joe Burrow is, under any circumstance, he just doesn't panic. Like, the kid does not panic. Like, if it gets quick pressure on him, he's not going to panic. He gets outside of the pocket, he's not going to get flustered and make bad decisions. Like, he is going to make good decisions with the football. Like, you can trust his ability to process information and make good decisions. Like, he ain't going to be the reason that you lose in many games.
No.
He's not.
And they're, 2-5-1? They could easily be 4-3-1. Like, they've been in almost every game they've played this year.
Yeah.
He's
so, I mean, the arrow is pointing in the right direction in Cincinnati.
All right, Rick, if I offered you right now Joe Burrow instead of Trevor Lawrence with whatever season this is going to wind up with, would you take it?
At this point, from what I've seen so far, Joe Burrow,
yep,
and the fact that I haven't seen Trevor Lawrence play in the NFL, I guess you would have to.
I agree.
I wouldn't even blink.
I guess you would have to.
I think you'd have to.
Yeah, I would.
Well, plus you'd have Joe Burrow with like a year of not being, like, he maybe because he spent the year in Cincinnati, like, being coached properly, like, you can't ruin him as easily as you would someone that's never been in the NFL yet. Like, get someone that's already been developed.
Mm-hmm.
So he can fight through the dysfunction.
He just looks sensational.
If you
I made the same offer.
You know why I like Joe Burrow so much, though, Rico? He's a good athlete, but he doesn't rely on his athleticism in order to make plays. Like, he's not overly reliant on his athleticism. Now, he's not somebody that you want to major in zone read, but he's not overly reliant on his athleticism. Like, in terms of what we're used to with conventional quarterback play, like, Joe Burrow is bringing that to the table in spades. And he's a coach's son, so we shouldn't be surprised in how he sees the game. I'm not saying that he's got more upside than Trevor Lawrence. That's not what I'm saying. But I feel like when you start looking at Joe Burrow, he probably has a higher floor than Trevor Lawrence.
Just his poise, too. I mean, he gets the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah, he does.
And it doesn't seem like it affects him. It doesn't.
And he's really athletic. And he's
He's as athletic as he needs to be.
Yep.
It's not the foundation of his game, but if he needs to be, he can be.
He's athletic enough.
Exactly right. And Justin Herbert was great yesterday too.
Great.
Yeah, I think I think all the teams that took quarterbacks at the top of this year's draft are going to be happy with those quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How good is Mike Williams, by the way?
Now, God knows how they lost that game, but he looked terrific in that game yesterday.
How good is Mike Williams?
He's really good when Phillip Rivers is not his quarterback.
Oh my goodness! In the right corner of the
really
end zone.
Really good.
Ridiculous. Terrific.
But how do you lose that? How do you lose that game?
It's the Chargers.
But come on,
turnovers too.
The Falcons of the AFC.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't. The guy made a great play in the end zone. Turning the football over.
But it should have never come down to that.
It should have never come down to that. But that's the quickest way to lose a football game is turn the ball over.
Yet 500 yards of total offense.
No, I know, but I've never seen anything quite like what the Chargers are doing.
No. They feel like they're cursed, man. It's not quite the Jets, but it's going that direction.
It's not quite Adam Gase losing more games by 20-plus points than he's actually won, but it's pretty close.
Would you rather lose like you lost yesterday, or like the Chargers lost yesterday?
Like I lost, like the Jets lost.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's over early.
At least you don't have that. Up. I mean, games like that, like the Chargers had yesterday, are games that make me insane.
Games like that get coaches fired.
Yeah.
And I don't want to call for Anthony Lynn's job. I think he's a hell of a football coach, but you can't allow something like that to happen.
Over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be up 24-3 and lose 31-30. Oh. That can't happen.
Against a team that you look at,
I mean, you can't. What do you want me to say? That just can't happen.
It's true. Against a team that you look at and say is a bottom third team in the NFL, right?
Yes. Yeah. Team that's been ravaged by injury, too.
Can I make an observation, too, quickly before we go to break? Because it's been on my mind.
Is it an observation or an observation?
Well, you call it whatever you want. It's an observation about a knob. I mean, just for me, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as, you know, pieces of trash that may, I mean, he probably symbolizes the, like, how gross Candy feels about the NCAA. Dan Mullen is the worst.
Ugh.
He is the scum of the earth. He is the worst.
I could not agree with you more.
Oof.
Like what he did, and then what he did in that game, and then afterwards listening to his press conference, he was the one that incited it.
Yeah, that happened because of him.
Because of him, and then he comes out of the tunnel, and then he's trying to get the fans all fired up. You're a grown man. Like, what are you doing? Guy is the worst. I can't stand him.
This is the same guy that was imploring to sell out the Swamp. When they said that they could have fans, 90,000 people there, and 3 days later he's stricken with COVID.
Yeah, he's the worst. Like I mean,
you ain't got no business. You ain't got no business as a coach going over there and yelling at other coaches, players, or the officials. You ain't got no business doing that.
Yeah, he's unlikable, really. And there's a lot of college coaches that I think are unlikable. He's the captain.
He takes the cake.
Really,
he takes the cake. Yeah. He's the guy.
Could not agree with you more. Really unlikable. All right, we'll get to your Jets calls. Got to get to a little Giants conversation as well and continue around the NFL. But I want to remind you, Rick, because this is very important, that the Michael Kay Show's 20-20 contest continues today at 3 o'clock. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little bit more enjoyable. But today, I think, is a special day. The guys are giving away $500 in cash. Now, if you just stumbled upon $500, where are you going with that? What are you doing with that money?
If I would, it would be spent before I even had it in my pocket. Yeah, it'd be spent. My wife would have already spent it.
So you would just give it to her and she would spend it?
No, I wouldn't give it to her. She would just spend it. I'd have
something. She would expect to take the money.
Nah, something would be ordered and just be sitting at the door.
So here's the question. If it's a guy that wins today and he's married, does he not tell his wife that he won the $500 and just keeps it quiet and keeps the money for himself?
No, I mean, I think he has to tell his wife. I mean, you don't want to keep secrets from your wife. And then maybe he uses the $500 to do something nice for his wife. And then, I mean, that could be a gift that just keeps on giving.
I mean, the holidays are coming up.
Exactly right.
No, they sure are.
Presents, a little present action, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, speaking of money, Dave.
Thanksgiving.
When should we start getting concerned about Bart Scott paying me my money for the Lakers winning the championship this year?
That's
still got to happen.
By the way, before we get there, the 2020 contest brought to you by PC Richardson, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN.
He's got his own restaurant, the Bartesian.
Yeah. Now. But I remember when you won, and congratulations again to you for that tremendous victory, and I said, when do you want to get paid? You said, it's Bart. I'm not worried. As long as I'm paid by the end of the year, it's fine. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but it's been like a month, though, right? Isn't it about time?
Yeah.
Tell him
to bring me my money, man.
And he does do a show with them. I mean, he's a part of the Premature Pirates. Like, and they've been known to steal things.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
He probably wants you to pay him.
I'm just saying. Wow.
In his mind, he thinks he won the 5K.
That's what it is? He thinks he won?
Pay the man his money.
But here's the thing. Like he knows he owes me the money, but I saw him in the studio last week. No mention of it at all. Talked about everything else. Went on his show. Did all of that stuff. And I'm just like, you know,
do you think if you never brought it up, he would never mention it again?
Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never.
You would never get paid.
I feel that way.
So the poor kids would never see that money.
The kids of the Chris Candy Foundation will never see that money.
I mean,
Canty, he didn't believe what he was saying. Canty, on Friday, he didn't even believe what he was saying about Bill Belichick. He was just trying to confuse, like, keep you away from talking about the money.
Is that, so that's what it was?
That's what it was.
Wait, we got Canty. If I say the most outlandish thing ever, he won't ask for the money.
That's exactly
what
he
did. He actually also said it on Get Up, though. He actually also said it on Get Up on Friday. And that's
a big
Greeny
ruse, just to avoid
Greeny
you from asking
to move
for the
conversation
money.
Along. Yeah, but that's just to throw the sand so we don't talk about the money. Got it.
Yeah.
Well played by Bart.
You won it. Yes. It's time.
It's time. It's well played. Well played by Bart.
he's an evil genius. Today on ESPN Daily, the Pittsburgh Steelers are arguably the best team in football, and the door might have finally closed on the Patriots dynasty. Bill Barnwell breaks down the NFL action on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. We'll get to the Jets and Giants calls in a moment, 800-919-3776. But off of that, Rick, do you agree that the Patriots' door has finally closed here under Bill Belichick, at least this season,
this
era?
Yeah. This season has, yeah.
They're done, right?
Yeah, I think they're done. And I think, I mean, we'll see what happens with Stephon Gilmore. I mean, I think it's – you're at a point now where, you know, you try to trade who you can trade and then regroup. They got to figure out who their quarterback is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge for him moving forward, just finding out who their quarterback is going to be, because Cam Newton is – short-term guy. You were looking at him this year. They had some salary cap issues with the Tom Brady contract getting up from under that. And so now that they're going to be able to move on from that, you would expect that this will be a team that's going to retool this offseason and be a lot more competitive in 21. Patriots ain't going to be down for long. People are always saying, well, this is the end of Bill Belichick, the end of the Patriots. I think that's aggressive with that take. I just think this is a bad year. And we – yeah, I'm just saying, this was a bad year because it's an organization in flux. They didn't have a lot of cap space, and they had to move on from Tom Brady.
Plus the COVID, too. I mean, the amount of players the Patriots have had that opted out because
of
COVID.
Guys not playing.
And then when they actually got COVID, screwed everything up, too, because, I mean, they look like a different, completely different team now than they did early on in the season.
But what are they, 2-6?
Yeah, but even that loss against Kansas City.
Right, but they were like in that game. They could have won yesterday. They could have won in Seattle. Like, as bad as it is record-wise, they're not I don't think they're an awful football team.
I think because they're so well-coached, it disguises the fact that they're not a very good football team.
I would agree.
They're right now not a very good. So on the offensive side of the ball, they're not very good.
Yeah, I agree. Well, they don't have much talent. I mean, you talk about the Jets having no weapons. They have no weapons. None.
And yet they still managed to find a way in Buffalo to
be 12 yards away from winning the game.
Well, they should have at least tied it up.
Of course.
And then you see what happens. But that's a testament to Bill Belichick and what he's able to do.
He's the best of the
best. I think part of the reason why he was all set with bringing Tom Brady back is because I don't think he felt like he could do enough around Tom Brady to actually have success anyway. Tom Brady's been great, but look at the amount of talent Tom Brady has around him.
It was a ready-made situation for him. But to your point, Rico, like they just couldn't do enough with the roster, even if Tom Brady was on that team, for them to be a competitive team. Not compete to the level that they would like to. So they're taking their medicine this year, and then they'll move on from that. They'll get a quarterback, and then we'll be talking about the next run that the Patriots are going to go on.
Yep, absolutely. You would not say that this is going to be a long-term issue for them. This will probably be very short-term. Let's go to some of the calls, 800-919-3776. John and Clifton. John, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to this show every morning. It's a great show. I'm gonna talk about the Jets a second. I'm gonna say something that you may or may not agree with, but if you listen to my explanation why, maybe you'll see my point. Sam Darnold. I think really the Jets should trade him, and I'll base this on the following: A, we are a rebuilding team that's going to, if we're lucky, if Joe Douglas can do it right, it's going to take 2 to 3 years, if we're lucky, all right? So I don't think the Jets are going to be willing to pay him, Sam, his new salary.
I think we all are under the impression that this is the end for Sam Darnold.
John, I'll let you finish your point, but when do you think, you're saying he's going to get, they should trade him when? You mean trade him now or wait till the end of the season?
Hey, listen, you're 0-8 and halfway to that first pick anyway. But keeping him is gonna stop. The longer you keep him out on that field, the less amount you're going to be able to get for him because he keeps getting exposed. This is a third-year quarterback making first-year quarterback mistakes. Come on, let's face it. But the other thing is this. I feel bad for the guy. The circumstances were bad all the way up and down the board. Bad coach the first year, bad coach the second 2 years. He didn't get a fair shake. But you know what? That's not going to solve. It's not going to solve our problem. Give him a chance. Trade him to somebody you want. You can get a first-round draft choice or maybe a couple of seconds.
No, you're not going to get a first-round pick. You're not going to get a first-round pick.
What could you get from right now, Chris? What do you think?
I'm going to be honest with you. You'd be fortunate if you got a second-round pick for him. I think it's much more likely that you'll get a third-round pick. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. The only reason – first of all, you're not going to trade him now. You're not going to get rid of him now. So, I mean, you're going to wait until you absolutely have the number one pick. You're probably going to wait until you actually draft Trevor Lawrence before you move on from him. Okay, so that's the part of it that you got to understand. So they're going to wait until they actually have Trevor Lawrence and they get him under contract before they're going to move on from Sam Darnold. But I will say this. The biggest concern that I have about Sam Darnold being on the field is not the way that he plays. It's about him getting hurt. That's the thing that I would be concerned with the Jets potentially devaluing an asset that you're going to plan to use this offseason. I mean, as far as the way the kid is playing, I mean, it's hard to have any definitive opinion on Sam Darnold just because of the dysfunction that's been all around him. Like, if you liked Sam Darnold as a team coming out of USC, then you probably still like Sam Darnold. There's nothing that you've seen that would probably say, we're all set on it. If you liked him then, you'll like him now. If you didn't like him then, you're probably not going to like him now. Because there's nothing that you would have seen that says, that changed my opinion on him. So, but there will be some teams that are interested in Sam Darnold. You'll be able to get back a significant draft choice for him as long as the kid stays healthy and he's healthy going into the offseason. That's my biggest concern about Sam.
Well, he's not healthy right now. He's not. I mean, he definitely re-injured his shoulder yesterday. So we'll see what happens with that moving forward. But I mean, he's a distressed asset. You're not going to get
– No.
I think you'll probably get more for him if you wait. When you wait, because it's not if, I think when you wait.
You can't trade him now, though.
I don't think any – why would you trade him now?
You wouldn't, and you can't.
And you can't. And, again, like to Chris's point, I mean, you wait till you actually have the first overall pick. Trevor Lawrence is going to be – or could be – I mean, who knows? Could be Justin Fields. He looks damn good, too. But it's Trevor Lawrence, and then you kind of wait for teams to figure out what the quarterback market is. And then he probably ends up getting traded to a team like – I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the quarterback of the Niners next year.
I would agree with that.
So you got the Niners.
And Drew Brees ain't going to be the quarterback of the Saints next year.
You got Indy, Steelers. Yep. And I think Chris made a great point. If you liked him when he was coming out of USC, you still like him. If you didn't, now it's confirmed why you didn't like him.
Well, if you didn't like him, now you really don't like him.
Now you really don't like him.
And if you liked him, you could be hot or cold on him.
Or if you're super impressed with how Ryan Tannehill looks now. You're like, well,
that's the other
if
part,
Tannehill can look this good after he gets away from Gase, maybe. What can Sam Darnold look like?
Yeah, but that's got to be the thought for the Sean Paytons and the Mike Tomlins and the Frank Reichs of the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Indy, if you're Indy right now with that offensive line, I mean, I would definitely take a look at Sam Darnold. 100%.
Can't pick against Indy. I mean, that's a good football
really, Dave, that's what we're doing? That's what we're doing?
I wasn't going to say
it. Bad guy, man.
It's a good football team. You're
on a roll today, Dave Rothenberg.
Ray in Babylon. Ray, you're next up on 98.7. Hello, Ray.
I'm going to call and ask. My original question was, would it be worse for the Jets, as a Jet fan, which I am, unfortunately, to finish 0-16 or 1-15? That was my original question. I just think, believe it or not, as a matter of a prideful Jet sufferer, I'd rather go 0-16. I mean, if we're going to, blank the bed, we might as well go all the way.
Well, no, that's ridiculous.
It depends on
– What?
No.
I'd rather go 0-16 and have the number one pick.
No. Like, if you're going to –
No. If you can have the number one pick and have a win,
yes,
that's what you want.
100%.
You don't want to be – you don't want to be one of the four teams that are winless in NFL history.
You're 0-15, you're the laughingstock. You're 0-16, you're remembered forever as the laughingstock.
Forever. You're worse than – if the point differential continues, you'll be the worst team ever in the history.
Ever. No, you don't want to go 0-16. Now, I would take 0-16 if it meant I get the one pick as opposed to 1-15 and I don't get the one pick.
And yeah, there are levels to poop in the bed. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. There are levels.
This is quite the level.
This would be my brother on the trundle bed all of a sudden not realizing that he pooped his bed then rolling around in it all night.
Oh, my! Come on, man. Nobody's
the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, we shared a room.
Oh God.
He's in the trundle. I was like, oh, I woke up. I was like, what's that? I looked down and he was just covered in it.
And on that note, we'll take a break. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Tonight, 8:15 ESPN, Giants and the Bucks. And my feeling, you know it already. I'm just kind of unmotivated with the Giants. You give the Giants any chance, Rick, in this game? I mean, you're a Jets fan, so you're a neutral observer. Any chance in this game to compete, keep it close?
I think they can keep it close. I hope they don't, because I actually picked the Bucks. But I mean,
-12. The number's up to 13.5, by the way.
Yeah, which is fine. But they've shown me no reason not to believe that they're going to be competitive. They're not as talented as the Bucks, and with the COVID and everything else, not having Will Hernandez, that's going to hurt going against this defense.
Sure it is.
So yeah, well, they get their hands
full. Here's a little nugget that should make you feel better about your pick, Rico. The Giants are 0-7 against the spread as home dogs since the start of last season. Since the start of 2018, they're 1-12.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are setting me up. I feel like that's what's happening right now. You guys are trying to set me up.
This is a whole setup for you to take the Giants this week.
How about Canty, too, by the way, in the read? Going against the Colts again in his live read. I like my Ravens against the Colts. The guy, he can't help himself.
No.
Hold on. Wait a minute now. So you want to take the Colts going up against the Ravens, who just got embarrassed by the Steelers?
No, I would just avoid. I would just avoid
conviction.
The Colts for at least a week.
No, I'm not
going to
avoid that.
At least a week.
Like I said about Phillip Rivers, he played too well yesterday. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Remember what I told y'all about that train. But anyway, no, I don't think the Giants. Listen, as much as I love the Giants and I like what Joe Judge is doing, I just don't see this game being all that close. I just don't see it. I would count it as a win if Daniel Jones didn't turn the ball over that resulted in points for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So Giants lose 27-17, Chris. Daniel Jones throws for 240 and a touchdown and doesn't turn it over, and we turn on the mics tomorrow and you're pretty optimistic about things?
Yes. Because right now the Buccaneers are a team who a lot of folks around football feel like they could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Like, the Buccaneers are in a different weight class than the New York Football Giants. They just are. So,
your hope would be this, Dave. If you really, if you want to have some hope tonight that the Giants could pull this out, is that maybe Tampa's looking ahead to the Saints next week.
Because they have the Saints next Sunday night, right?
I don't think Tampa's looking ahead when you start talking about a Monday night game and, oh, by the way, JPP coming back to MetLife.
And Tom Brady, national stage. They're not going to look ahead.
Todd Bowles. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of motivation. Just trying to give you hope.
They're not going
to
look ahead.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.